If you would, I invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs and chapter 1. Book of Proverbs and chapter 1. You know, every once in a while, my wife gets control of the TV remote, and she likes this one of these shows. It's one of those reality shows called Super Nanny. You've heard of that. And Super Nanny is a woman by the name of Jo Frost, and she's a child behavior expert, so-called, and she works with families whose children are totally out of control. Probably many of you have seen the show. In other words, when she arrives, the kids are usually real brats. It's not uncommon for her to find that toddlers are controlling the household and holding their parents hostage with temper tantrums. In these situations, Jo Frost has to coach the parents, and whose own behavior and maybe parenting styles have led to these directly to these unbearable situations. And the families are usually desperate by the time she arrives. Neither the parents or the kids are happy. She offers sound advice and new techniques to these parents, and she helps the children and the parents develop new habits in relating to one another. And if they're willing to heed her advice, their household can become peaceful and happy. You know, if we follow good advice, if we find good advice, if we find wisdom, and we find sound words, and we follow those words, I think we'll be blessed. Good advice, sound words, and wisdom are not as rare as we might believe. They're not that hard to find. They're not hidden away from us. They don't defy our understanding, like, you know, what does that mean? How can I do that? But wisdom is found all around us. And wisdom's voice is always speaking to us. However, the problem is that we're not always listening. I'd like you to read from the book of Proverbs, chapter 1 and verse 20, and it says this, chapter 1, verse 20 of Proverbs. It says, "Wisdom shouts in the streets. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make my words known to you. Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. I also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes, when your dread comes like a storm and your calamity like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge. They did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all of my reproof. So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil." Shall we pray? Father in heaven, as we read your words of wisdom this day, we pray that we can listen, that we can hearken to these words of wisdom we find here. Father in heaven, we know that your word is the word that leads to life. And may we find life today. Father, I pray that you'd forgive me, cleanse me of my sins and shortcomings, that I may proclaim your word to your precious people. I ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, I'm going to apologize beforehand to some of you fellow men, husbands and sons, for what I'm about to say. And I'm able to say this because my wife is not here. You know, all of us men would be in big trouble if the women in our lives didn't keep us straightened out. Men, there we go. We got an amen there. Men, you probably know this, but maybe you haven't admitted it to your wives yet, or maybe you won't, but when you go home with your wife, you're on your own, you know, when you want to talk about this. But if it weren't for the women in our lives, we would be in big trouble. When I was a boy, my mom kept me straightened out. Now as a married man, my wife keeps me on the straight and narrow. And I know that all you guys might groan when the wife tells you to do something, right? In fact, you might even call it nagging, you know, under your breath. However, I want all of you to be very honest with yourselves. Most of the time, mom is right. Most of the time, your wife is right. There's another amen, a female voice. So she is keeping you straight. However, you know, we resist. We make up excuses. We just don't want to hear it. And you know, I find myself sometimes intentionally not cooperating. Now, we don't want to listen to wisdom. You know, women, I believe, are wise. And I learned this very early in life. On one occasion, my brother and I were riding in the car as boys with my grandmother and my grandfather. And we happened to pass the house of an old bachelor that they knew. And on passing the house, my grandmother looked at the house and she said, "I think that he's gotten married." Well, my grandpa says, "Well, why do you think that?" Well, she replied, "He has hanging plants on his porch. They weren't there before." Well, my brother and I just thought that was hilarious. So we started making fun of her and kidding her and saying, "You know, just because a guy has hanging plants on his porch doesn't mean that he's married. You know, a single guy can go out and buy hanging plants too. You know, he doesn't have to be married." Well, we had to eat our words a week later when we found out the old bachelor had indeed gotten married and his new wife liked hanging plants. Women are wise. Women are insightful. You know, it's not surprising that the book of Proverbs personifies wisdom in the form of a woman. Now just notice this here. If you look at verse 20, wisdom shouts in the streets. Do you notice that? She lifts up her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. I often think about my mother when she really got mad and there's a lot of stuff going on in the house. You know, at the head of the noisy streets, she shouts out. You know, and so in this particular passage, wisdom is personified in the form of a woman. And this, what we call personification, is a literary device found in the Bible. It's often found in the Bible. And in it, an abstract concept like wisdom is given the attributes of a person for a moment in order to communicate a lesson to us. And so she, wisdom, shouts in the streets. She lifts up her voice. And like many women who speak their minds, like moms and wives who speak their minds, they're ignored, sometimes maligned. In fact, if you look down to verse 22, look what she says. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Look down to verse 23. Turn to my reproof or correction. Behold, I'll pour out my spirit on you. I'll make my words known to you. Also look down to verse 30. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. How many mothers have said that? So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. Verse 32, for the waywardness of the naive will kill them and the complacency of fools will destroy them. So they're not listening to wisdom. You know, wisdom, in this context, wisdom is the word of God. We have wisdom right here. Wisdom is the word of God. Wisdom is truth. And sometimes the truth hurts, doesn't it? Wisdom is sometimes hard to swallow, hard to accept. You know, we want to avoid it or silence it. Wisdom requires us to submit to her way, but we have a rebellious heart. We won't listen. We resist. We want to do things our way. We make up excuses. In the end, we're going to suffer for our foolishness. You know, when we're teenagers, we would not listen to anything that mom said. I know I wouldn't listen to anything that mom said just because it was mom that said it. I wouldn't listen. You know, sometimes when our wife suggests something, we won't do it, maybe just because she's the one who suggested it. In our foolish pride, we do the same thing to Lady Wisdom. In the literary sense, wisdom, we're talking about wisdom. Wisdom is a particular category of writing that's found in the Bible. You know, examples of what they call wisdom literature in the Bible are the books of Job, Proverbs, of course, Ecclesiastes. You can find those in the Old Testament. The New Testament book of James may be an example of this wisdom sort of writing, wisdom literature. And wisdom literature is concerned with the big questions about the meaning of life. In particular, you know, some of the questions it asks is, how can one live, how can we live a decent, happy, peaceful life in the present? This question is an important one. You know, I want you to think about it for a moment. There are many things that are beyond our control. There are certain things in this life that are beyond my control. Whether we have rain or a drought, it's not up to you, it's not up to me. In many instances, accidents and injuries are beyond our control. That's why they call it an accident. Something just happens. It's an accident. It's beyond our control. You know, on many levels, whether we get sick or remain healthy is something that's beyond our control. You know, if the remains of a hurricane were to blow ashore and bring winds and heavy rains to this area, that's out of your control. It's not up to you. There's not a vote that's going to be taken whether that should happen or not. Earthquakes, war, economic depression, or a recession are not things that are within your control. But here's what Proverbs teaches us, though, is that decisions that we make do have consequences. And for that reason, there are certain things in our lives that are within our control because our decisions have consequences. Actions that we take have consequences. You know, we can't control everything about our lives, but we do have a measure of control over many things. And we do have a measure of control over the outcome of many things in our lives. Wisdom, then, is the way to achieve good outcomes rather than bad outcomes. And living according to the wisdom of the Word of God will enable you, and this is the promise. If you live according to the wisdom of the Word of God, it will enable you to live good, decent, happy lives even in the present. In fact, there's some I don't know how often you read the book of Proverbs, but it has very practical wisdom for each one of us. Look over to the book of Proverbs chapter 4, look at verse 14. Proverbs 4, look at verse 14. Just some very good practical stuff. It says, "Don't enter the path of the wicked, and don't proceed in the way of an evil man." It's very practical stuff, because if you do that, you're going to get in trouble. Also, look down to chapter 5, verse 1. It talks about, especially in this age, being sexually pure, being faithful. And here's what it says here in chapter 5, verse 1. "My son, give attention to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may observe discretion and your lips may reserve knowledge. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey. Smoother than oil is her speech. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold of Sheol, the grave. She doesn't ponder the path of life. Her ways are unstable and she doesn't know it." So again, you know, our decisions have consequences. If we make the wrong decisions, we're going to have bad outcomes. If we make the right decisions, we're going to have good outcomes. Also, look over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 10, and verse 2. Proverbs 10 and verse 2. And here again, just some very practical advice that's given to us all through the book of Proverbs. I'm just giving you some examples. It says, "Ill-gotten gains do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death." you know, our decisions have consequences. Our actions have consequences. There can be a good outcome. There can be a bad outcome. Are we going to listen to wisdom? Also looked at verse 3. The Lord will not allow the righteous to hunger. He will reject the craving of the wicked. Also going down to verse 9 there. He who walks in integrity, walks in truth, will walk securely. But he who perverts his ways will be found out. Going down to verse 12. Some more practical advice. Hatred stirs up strife. Hatred stirs up more hatred. But love covers all transgressions. So, good outcome, bad outcome. How are we going to live our life? Are we going to live according to wisdom or not? Also, look down to verse 18, the last one I look at here. It says, he who conceals hatred has lying lips, and he who spreads slander is a fool, because it's going to come back to bite you. So good outcome, bad outcome, making good decisions. Going back to Proverbs chapter 1 there. Proverbs chapter 1. And so the questions that the wisdom literature of the Old Testament ask about life are not really all that different from the questions that people in our society might ask and this church might ask. You know, questions like, how can I live a happy life? How can I be content? How can I have peace in my life? In fact, there's a whole industry that's popped up, developed to answer these sort of questions. There are some examples, maybe just look at these, just to remind you, is Dr. Phil, you know, his book Relationship Rescue, and also like there's a book I found, I've never read it, but it says How to Change Your Life in 7 Steps. And also there's a book by Joel Osteen, Your Best Life Now, 7 Steps to Living Your Life in Full Potential. You know, the wisdom we need to live our life. It's interesting, so a lot of these books have 7 steps to these things. I like, there's also one I saw, I don't know if it's a real book or not, but Life for Dummies. You've seen that series. You know, how can you live life fully and be happy? And so in the context of Proverbs, wisdom is the same as, or it's synonymous with, the Word of God. So when we're talking about wisdom, we're talking about the Word of God. And this is the true source of wisdom. And these are the words which would lead us to life. These are the words that would lead us to contentment. These are the words that would lead to peace in our life. And so, as in the book of Proverbs, she, wisdom, shouts in the streets. She lifts her voice in the town square. And if you look down to verse 22, I'm going to paraphrase that for you. Proverbs 1:22. And she says this, how long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? Now I'm going to paraphrase that for you. How long, O stupid ones, will you insist on being stupid? How long, what's it going to take for you to listen to me? Wisdom says to us. I ran across a saying, stupidity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Stupidity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. So it's time for us to do things God's way, the wise way. It's time to change our ways. It's time to listen to Lady Wisdom. She says, turn to my reproof in verse 23, or turn to my correction. In other words, wisdom comes only when we're willing to be corrected. Wisdom comes only when we're willing to be corrected. Wisdom only comes when we're willing to change our ways. This is why so many people cannot find wisdom, because they're not willing to change. They're not willing to admit that they are wrong. They're not willing to swallow their pride. They may be afraid of commitment. They may be afraid of hard work. They're not willing to humble themselves before God. They're not willing to trust the Word of God and be patient that the blessings will come when they listen to wisdom. And so they keep doing the same old things the old way and keep getting the same old rotten results. Now, wisdom assures us in verse 22. She says, if you listen, I'm going to pour out my spirit on you. and I'm going to make my words known to you. Lady Wisdom also promises, but he who listens to me, notice here in verse 33, he who listens to me shall live securely, and he will be at ease from the dread of evil. If you just listen to me, Wisdom says. Those who listen and obey God's wisdom will be blessed in the present and also in the future kingdom of God. And you will live in a secure place. Wisdom is calling out to us. Now, you can regard her as a nag and reject her words, or you can listen and find what it is to truly live as one of God's own children. I love that picture there. Shouting out, and the guy's just standing there like this. Now, you know he can hear everything she says. But that posture there, that body language says, I don't care what she says, I'm not going to listen. Very obstinate. And sometimes I think when it comes to the Word of God, we get that way. We plant our feet in, we cross our arms, and we hear the Word of God speaking to us, but we've decided we're not going to listen. Wisdom shouts in the streets. She lifts her voice in the square. How long, O naive one, she says, will you insist on being simple-minded? I called you and you refused. I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. You neglected my counsel and did not want my reproof. In this book, it's not just any book, we have the words that lead to life. And if we would listen, if we would respond, we would have that life, that abundant life now, and the eternal life in the age to come.